In your face. Well, Bloomshed presents a very modern take of Jane Austen's Pride and Prejudice. On the line, we have one of the performers, Lauren Swain. Lauren, welcome to 3CR.
G'day, James. Thanks for having me.
It sounds really, really fun. How would you describe it?
Well, yeah, no, fun just about sums it up. It is outrageous, colourful, energetic, funny. It's really bloody funny. Like, our rehearsals, when we were writing this thing, this mammoth thing, were just filled with us cracking ourselves laughing and hoping that that's going to translate to the audience. It is political. It is deeply sad in some parts, but also has parts where you're kind of lulled into this world of love and fantasy, which is really weird for Bloomshed because we usually do, you know, more like dark, deeply political, like explicitly political stuff. And this is absolutely political, but we do sprinkle in some of the romance and love that people want to see from an Austen story.
Tell us about the political side of it. I mean, you've got the housing crisis in there, you've got the cost of living crisis, all in Jane Austen. I find that fascinating.
Yeah. So with Bloomshed, I would say that every work, I've only been in two works, but every work over their kind of 10-year history has been all satirical, like a satirical commentary on the structures of power that kind of uphold our world as we know it. And so we're using, you know, the lens of 19th century England, you know, period drama, romance, to draw upon kind of the absurdity of how power structures and heteronormative ideas played out in that era and how they are still relevant now. And we kind of want to, we use the, like, the tool of comedy to help kind of get the audience to see, oh, okay, this power structure, this power dynamic that we're seeing now, this oppressive structure that is relevant in the play is still relevant now. And so hopefully getting audiences to question kind of their role in that and the ways in which we kind of move through the world.
Yeah, I mean, when Pride and Prejudice was written, of course, the English class system was well and truly entrenched. And what we're finding with capitalism is that it still is, but in different ways. And you must be finding that with this play.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this work is entirely about like the perpetuation of class and class structures. And, you know, we have a very clear class structure in Australia. Like, I come from a working class background through and through. And it's really interesting to step into roles where I am playing someone of much higher status and how I, as a performer, have the opportunity to satirise those roles and to kind of critique them in this really kind of huge and hilarious way, in a way that it's like, God, this is so absurd, but this is how these class systems play out to this day.
So tell us about the character that you play.
Yeah, so I play two characters, lucky me. I play Mary, who is one of the Bennet sisters. And in our take of this story, Mary is in a goth phase. She is a bit of an anarchist. She may or may not love to carry a rifle around. And she is a bit of a lone wolf. And she has been a lot of fun to play. She's a woman of few words, but when she does speak, it is one of those things where everyone stops and listens. And then I also play Wickham, who is in the military and he comes to town. And in our version, let's just say Wickham might not be such a great guy. And we definitely make a critique with Wickham that I feel hasn't really been done in any adaptions of this work that I've heard of. I think a lot of things are glazed over sometimes, particularly in relation to Wickham's character. And so in this work, in Bloomshed's version, we're not shying away from bringing to the surface some things that we think have been kind of quickly glazed over when this story has been put out into the world in the past.
Wow. I was going to say the goth character sounds the most fun, but in some ways Wickham is more fun because you're really turning people's kind of, you know, understanding of that character on its head.
Yeah, I think we'll lull them into a false sense of security, and then hopefully there might be a moment when they're like, oh, okay, maybe Wickham's not who he thought he was. So, yeah, I can't say I have a favourite character because I'm equally... because they're so different as well. Like, for me as a performer, so fun to play, you know, that spectrum of a difference in physicality, vocals, the whole shebang. So, yeah, I've been having a lot of fun. And also writing the characters too.
Yeah. Wow. So you do that as well. You've been writing your character as well.
Yeah.
Amazing.
One of the, like, cool things with Bloomshed is that everyone who performs is also a theatre maker, and we are all a part of the writing and making process of the work.
I've got to say, though, the goth character sounds so much fun. And at first I thought, oh, goth character in Jane Austen, how wild. But in actual fact, you know, so many of the scenes in their books were pretty gothic, weren't they?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think, like, yeah, I think at first some people think it seems quite random, but with the character of Mary, like, she is a bit of a subverter of norms in her kind of quiet, lone wolf kind of way. And we think that when we think about goths and the way that they subvert norms in society today, it just felt like a nice little parallel to draw upon, and also very fun.
Tell us about some of the other characters that have been created for Bloomshed's Pride and Prejudice.
Yeah, so basically we have, we have, you know, the classic Mr. Darcy and Elizabeth Bennet. And the way in which we have created our versions of them is just a super heightened version of what you see when you read the book. So we've adapted the book rather than adapting the film or BBC series. But Lizzie kind of acts a little bit as our moral compass through the work, the same way in which for a lot of readers and lovers of Jane Austen's book, they kind of see Lizzie as this moral compass that is the one kind of questioning all of the corruption and whatnot that she sees around her. And so we definitely are leaning into that with this work, and but ramping it up a notch. Mr. Darcy is awkward as ever. And he is played by James Jackson, and Elizabeth is played by Elizabeth Brennan, who are the two kind of co-founders of Bloomshed, who they are like siblings. And so it's been really interesting for me kind of seeing these two play these characters that, you know, have this tumultuous relationship, and then also knowing the relationship between Lizzie and James and the sibling-like bonds that they have. And in a way, it felt like they were the two that had to play these characters. Also because we're, like, in this work, we're questioning love and what is real love and what is just, like, capital R romance that's been kind of fed to us since we were young, and, you know, that is kind of pulls upon more capitalistic ideas and, you know, conflating marriage with love. And so looking at platonic love, and I think the love between Lizzie and James as friends, and then seeing them play Elizabeth and Mr. Darcy has been, I've really enjoyed that and the writing process with that. Who else have we got? We've got the one and only Sid Brisbane. Anyone who saw 37 would have catched Sid Brisbane as the coach in 37. Sid plays Mr. Collins, who is a priest, a bit of a pain in the backside as well. He is kind of, in our version, is a bit of an issue for the Bennett family. And I won't say too much more because I don't want to ruin the plot line in the way that we've taken it. But Collins is bad news for the Bennett family. And then Sid is also going to be playing another character, Kitty, who is one of the sisters, one of the Bennett sisters. And that has been hilarious to be a part of, Sid kind of discovering what that character was going to become. Who else we got? We've got Anna Louie, beautiful Anna Louie. She is playing the ever beautiful Jane. And Jane is our person in this show that Jane wants real love, and she has all these ideals around romance and marriage, and hopefully, I won't spoil too much, but hopefully she gets her happily ever after. Who else have we got? Gosh, it feels like it's such a big team. We've got James Molker. James Molker is back from a bit of a brief hiatus. He's been doing his PhD on like water scarcity in the Murray-Darling Basin. I really love working with James. As I personally am a bit of a fierce advocate for water sovereignty and country, and so it's been really interesting getting to work with James again and hearing about kind of his fierce advocacy for country and how that plays out in his theatre making and how he brings like that kind of environmental political lens to the way he writes and the type of work that he helps to make with Bloomshed. But James is playing Mr. Bingley, who if I was to play any other character, I think I would have loved to play Mr. Bingley. He is so very simple. Like, just can walk into a room and be easily entertained by just about anything, and is quite vibrant and joyous and silly, just really, really silly. And for a big chunk of this play, he can't open any door. He really struggles with the latches, and that's a bit of a reoccurring thing, and he gets lost quite a lot. Who else? Can you think of anyone that I've missed, James?
I can't. It just sounds so wonderfully subversive, and it also sounds like it's got such an activist vein to it as well. And for all those folks who love Pride and Prejudice, you've given them a new take on Jane Austen's, you know, classic work, you know?
Yeah.
It just sounds extraordinary. It's happening at the Darabin Arts Centre from the 30th of July to the 10th of August, 401 Bell Street in Preston, the wonderful Bloomshed production of Pride and Prejudice. Actor Lauren Swain, it has been wonderful to chat with you today on 3CR. Can't wait to see the show.
Thanks so much, James. Hope to see some of your listeners there.
3CR. In Your Face would like to thank Thorn Harbour Health for their sponsorship of this program. Thorn Harbour Health envisions a future where our LGBTIQ+ communities and people living with HIV are healthy and live safely with dignity and well-being. To find out more, search for Thorn Harbour Health online.